Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today, and it's all brought to you by Simply Safe Home Security. Go to simplysafe.com/ricochet and get 10% off when you order today. More from Simply Safe a little later in the podcast. And Jim, let's begin with what we think is the good martini, and that's that the Republicans won the special election in Montana on Thursday night. It turned out to be about a 6-7 point win for Greg Gianforte, which is pretty much what the last poll showed. All of this, of course, coming about 24 hours after the quote-unquote body-slamming incident involving Guardian reporter Ben Jacobs. As we reported yesterday, a lot of the vote had already been mailed in, so we don't know if a lot of minds would have changed or did change, but they couldn't do anything about it. That's certainly one of the angles a lot of Democrats are going with today. But in the end, the Democrats come up short again in a state where they even had a banjo-playing candidate this time, Jim. Didn't work. Gianforte, in his victory speech, did apologize to Ben Jacobs, and here's what that sounded like.
When you make a mistake, you have to own up to it. That's the Montana way.
Amen. Amen.
Last night I made a mistake, and I took an action that I can't take back, and I'm not proud of what happened. I should not have responded in the way that I did, and for that I'm sorry. I should not have treated that reporter that way, and for that I'm sorry, Mr. Ben Jacobs. That's not the person that I am. And it's not the way I'll lead in this state.
So a sympathetic crowd there listening to that apology. Jim, there's a couple different ways to look at this. One is that people couldn't change their mind because they already voted. So we don't know if everybody had to vote on Thursday, whether or not Gianforte would have won. Is he the ideal candidate now to go to Washington for Republicans? Probably not. But in the end, Democrats can't even beat a guy charged with assault. So their supposedly big momentum might not be all that big.
We wish he had not done that. I do want to see the legal system do with this. A lot of people point out that a misdemeanor assault in your first offense, you will get very minimal punishment. You may get the charges dismissed. You may get the on probation or something like that. This is probably not going to be serious legal problem for the congressman-elect. Having said that, I think he's got, there was at least a decent tone in those remarks. I think he might even go a little bit further. When you mess up on a scale this big, you should attempt to make amends. And there's been a lot of, really kind of extraneous and irrelevant comments of, well, I don't like the media. Well, that doesn't really matter. Like, he's a rude reporter. Rudeness does not give you the excuse to body slam people to the ground. And, despite what that caller said to Rush Limbaugh yesterday, no, the world would not be a better place if you could just body slam someone if you thought they were being impolite. At one point, the caller said, well, look, I think we've reached the point where we kind of have to inflict some pain for the greater good. I'm thinking here, Greg, this is a little fascistic for my taste. we're going to, if you're thinking differently, we don't like the way you think, we're going to physically hurt you in order to teach you the lesson. Yeah, no, that's not the way it works in the United States of America. You're welcome to, tell the reporter no comment. You're welcome to even say something rude. It's the way things have always worked in this country. Having said that, Democrats, on the one hand, some Democrats are making excuses, but some Democrats are disappointed this morning. And I think they have good reason to be disappointed because, you don't get things like this falling into your lap that often. I'd like to think, Greg, that very few Republican candidates between now and Election Day 2014 are going to body slam reporters the day before Election Day. is that too much to ask? Is that setting the bar too high?
I hope they don't take this as incentive for doing it anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you might say, oh, this demonstrated that there's motivated reasoning. Republicans in that state just didn't care. And this shows how bad things are getting. I don't know if that's necessarily what I would take away from this. I do think that maybe if you're that the banjo playing Democrat, you need a message beyond Trump is bad. Republicans are bad. My opponent is bad. You need a better argument why your policies are better for the public. And I think it's just safe to say that, voters in Montana just were not that persuaded of this. Now, some Democrats are also saying, it's Montana. We were never going to win in Montana. never mind the fact that they have a Democratic senator and currently have a Democratic governor. It did not shake out the way the Democrats wanted. Republicans are breathing a little easier this morning. I think that the message for Republicans should be on guard. They should not be taking anything for granted. We've talked earlier this week about how the outlook in the Virginia governor's race isn't looking that great. There's a poll out that had Ossoff ahead. Look, you know, I think it's safe to say the Democratic grassroots are fired up, and there are going to be places that are more less heavily Republican than Montana and Kansas. Thinking of the Pompeo seat and the Georgia seat, which we still need to see the runoff. But in the end, there is, you know, so far all of this fired up Democratic grassroots and all the flaws of the Republican candidates have not yet added up to a Democratic victory. Republicans are, you know, getting a little bit of luck here and managing to dodge some bullets. And, you know, if they manage to get their act together between now and Election Day 2018, the midterms may not go so badly for them.
I guess we'll see. Yeah, a lot of people on the left want to blame Trump for what Gianforte did, which is kind of insane. Scarborough says it's impossible not to see the connection. The only thing I blame Trump for is nominating Ryan Zinke to be Secretary of the Interior. That's the only input he really had on this race. And not because Zinke's not going to be a good Interior Secretary. I just think he was the best chance to beat John Tester next year, and I think that's going to be an uphill climb. So quite the last 48 hours in that special election. But let's move on to the bad martini now. And once again, we're talking about terrorists and most likely ISIS terrorists. This is from Fox News. A team of gunmen opened fire on a bus carrying Coptic Christians south of Cairo Friday, killing at least 28, including children, and wounding 22 other people. As many as 10 attackers in three SUVs stormed the bus dressed in military uniforms and wearing masks, according to witnesses. The victims were on their way to visit a monastery to pray. Only three children survived the attack, the Cops United News portal reported. Video circulating on social media after the attack showed the bodies of about 10 men scattered in the sand on the side of the road with pools of blood around them. Children hysterically screaming could be heard in the background. Local media also reported that the attackers were recording video themselves. So, Jim, this comes on the heels of the deadly Palm Sunday bombings, two of them that killed well over 40 people, including one of the priests there. The Coptics are just constantly under attack. Because it's in Egypt, it won't get the attention that Manchester got. But do we see that the terror alert is still critical in the UK? And for those who think this is going away, it's just not.
Yeah, look, this is, we are a world at war, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. And it's going to, stories like this are very easy to get overlooked. There's been times in the last presidential campaign where Trump said, we're going to get tough. We're going to finally take on these guys. You know, there was a lot of times where it felt like the Obama administration really wanted to act like we were not a country at war. In fact, I was just thinking, looking the other day, I came across a quote. I forgot Memorial Day 2015, Greg. I forgot that President Obama said that it was the first Memorial Day in which Afghanistan was at peace, or we were not at war in Afghanistan. I don't know if the Taliban got that memo.
Right.
I don't know if the other side ever got that memo. And when you see things like Manchester and this attack in Egypt, it's a reminder that, no, this threat is still out there. And our desire to live in a time of peace is not sufficient to create a time of peace. The only thing that creates a time of peace is when the threat is genuinely eliminated, and there's still a lot of work to do. Now, I think al-Sisi out in Egypt is certainly more aligned with our views on counterterrorism than some of the Muslim Brotherhood who preceded him. But still a long road to ahead, and still very difficult to secure every Copt in the country. And it's a sense that, you know, it'll be a long time before the Copts in Egypt can practice their faith openly and safely and not feel like they have a target on their backs. Sadly, that is just kind of the state of the things in Egypt. And for those of us who want to say, let's create Fortress America, let's turn our back on it. Look, you know, I don't believe the idea that the threat's just going to stay over there and never going to cause any threat to us. Never mind Americans who are living abroad, studying abroad, traveling abroad and things like that.
And harkening back to the Katy Perry line about unity, pretty sure the Coptics going to pray at a monastery wasn't bothering anybody. Pretty sure that they weren't antagonizing anybody. It's not like they asked for this.
How dare you provoke people by praying?
Right.
Yeah. There you go.
Unbelievable. Well, the good news is, even though there's a lot of danger in around us and around the world, you can protect your home. And the good news is SimpliSafe Home Security is on the job. Getting a good night's sleep is easier said than done sometimes, especially if you think you just heard a noise downstairs. So think about that. What do you do in that situation? You could turn on all the lights and keep watch. You could check your kids' beds every hour. You could take Metallica's advice and sleep with one eye open, gripping your pillow tight. Or you can rest easy, knowing that your home and your family are protected with SimpliSafe.
When you install your SimpliSafe home security system, you are arming your home with powerful sensors that actually tell you if a door opens or a window breaks. There is a 105-decibel siren that alerts you at the first sign of trouble, and a dedicated team of security professionals will watch over you 24/7, ready to send the police in any emergency. With SimpliSafe, there are no long-term contracts, and around-the-clock monitoring is just $14.99 a month. So don't spend another night second-guessing your home safety.
Get SimpliSafe and get some rest. Go to SimpliSafe.com/ricochet. Go ahead and do it right now. Just open up that tab, SimpliSafe.com/ricochet. And on top of that, get a special 10% discount when you order today. SimpliSafe, SimpliSafe.com/ricochet. SimpliSafe.com/ricochet for 10% off your order. One more time, SimpliSafe.com/ricochet. And Jim, as we close the week, our crazy martini, and this one should either have folks smiling or shaking their heads or both. This is courtesy of Gerald Beer over at the Weekly Standard. Thursday on Facebook, cartoonist Berkeley Breathed of Bloom County fame posted a letter purportedly from President Donald Trump's New York attorney, Mark Cassowitz, taking Breathed to task for disseminating, quote, flagrantly altered photos of the president wearing apparel featuring your artwork, unquote. The letter bore the date stamp of May 23rd and was accompanied by a brief note from Breathed, which read, arrived this morning, full disclosure around here, management. The text of the cease and desist letter, allegedly from Cassowitz, threatens Breathed with a lawsuit in the U.S. District Court of New York if the rights-protected visages of Trump and his family were not immediately removed from all promotional and advertising mediums. The letter bears the ostensible signature of Cassowitz, and while the letter is headed with the logo that also appears on Cassowitz's firm's website, no other identifying information of the firm appears, such as an address, phone number, or email addresses that would normally be found on the header of business stationery. But let's get to the chase. It turns out that the Cassowitz letter is not actually from Cassowitz or his firm. Contacted by email shortly after the letter was released, Emily Thal, Director of Business Development and Marketing for Cassowitz's firm, told the Weekly Standard, in response to your earlier email, I can confirm that the letter is not legitimate. It is a fake. If the flat denial by Cassowitz's office were not enough, the signature used in the fake letter bears no resemblance to Cassowitz's actual signature. So, Jim, there's a lot of fake news out there, a lot of hoaxes on the internet, and it looks like one of the more famous cartoonists in the world fell for it hook, line, and sinker, or at least wanted us to believe that that was the case.
Yeah, I say this as a big fan, at least of classic Bloom County. I haven't enjoyed the new stuff quite as much as the glory days of the 1980s. The gist is, he puts up a picture of Trump and Melania in Bloom County t-shirts. Now, everybody can tell this is photoshopped. Everyone can tell this is not really the president and Melania. And then it appears that there's a letter that has come from Trump's personal lawyer saying, you must cease and desist. You are very much in trouble. While he's a chief executive and public figure, he retains the rights to both his and his family's image for the purposes of commercial exploitation and promotion. And it says, you know, to remove all promotional imagery. But then it says, you know, so this is dated on May 22nd, and allegedly the image went up on the 21st. So the idea is that, you know, then further on down it says, to use language that you might understand, per my client's wishes, we will have your blank in a sling by lunch. By the way, Gerald Beer and I are disagreeing about what what part of the anatomy is going to be in the sling. But the gist being that's very, you know, very vulgar, threatening language. Now, the really intriguing thing here is the idea that that what we're supposed to believe is that Trump saw this Photoshop picture. He got really upset. He called up Mark Cassowitz. And then he said, you know, get this cartoonist. And so the law firm sent this very threatening letter to Berkeley Breathed. This is a hoax, indisputably. And you could probably say that it's so exaggerated and so implausible that Trump, in the middle of this foreign trip, would send, you know, to command his personal lawyer to send a threatening letter. But you look at the comment section in Facebook, lots and lots and lots of people believe this is true and are saying that there should be countersuing and you should, you know, this is a First Amendment case and Trump doesn't understand this and we all have to rally around Berkeley Breathed. I can understand. Look, I'm the guy who wrote The Weed Agency, right? I understand the joy of mixing fiction and nonfiction, of creating satire, of creating things that are exaggerated depictions in order to mock things in society. But the problem is this is how fake news gets created. And there's obviously nothing overtly in this letter. It was just posted with a we're keeping our people informed. You know, arrived this morning. Full disclosure around here. Signed the management. Well, you know, so people might legitimately believe that the president is threatening legal action against the creator of Bloom County, but he's not. And now this is, you know, I haven't seen anybody, you know, any petitions, any GoFundMes, any Burke Breathed Legal Defense Fund. But it just kind of, you know, you'd like to think that if Trump is as bad as his critics say, and Lord knows he gives them plenty of material to work with, they wouldn't have to make up stuff about him. And I just kind of went in the corner and I found lots of other stuff. And the amazing thing is just, Greg, is just how many things people will believe. You know, I, as you know, listeners know, I'm not a big fan of Trump, but no, I don't actually believe that he'd give this long diva-ish list of demands to the Israelis, including like 12 perfectly stacked double stuffed Oreos and stuff like that. then you go, no, he did not praise the Civil War service of Colonel Sanders of Kentucky Fried Chicken. No, he did not plagiarize his inaugural address from the film Avatar, right? No, he's not banning Facebook. That was being spread around on Facebook, which seemed particularly ironic. nor did he legalize the hunting of bald eagles, right? Come on, Americans, let's be serious. The only way in which it's perfectly legal to kill a bald eagle is with a wind farm. The turnstiles can kill bald eagles, and no, they will not be prosecuted by the EPA because it's a wind farm and it's good for the environment, even if it's killing endangered species birds. Anyway, so that's where things are. I do think this does do damage to our public discourse. And as much as I enjoy the work of Berkeley Breathed, I wish he'd been a little more open about this being a hoax. I think that you need to be almost a little more exaggerated in it. Otherwise, people buy it. There are plenty of lots of gullible people out in the world. In fact, Greg, I don't know if you know this, but the word gullible is not actually in the dictionary.
It's not?
There you go. So because, you know, I'm not saying I've ever looked it up just to make sure. But the point is, so, you know, I it would seem like you have enough things in the world to get upset about without people creating hoaxes to get people upset about things that didn't actually happen. So anyway, that's where we stand. But I don't know about you, Greg. I'm ready for Memorial Day weekend.
Indeed, for all the reasons, and especially to honor those who have given the greatest sacrifice for our nation. So please take time to do that this weekend and in whatever way you can in your community. Jim, enjoy the weekend. We'll reconvene on Tuesday.
We'll see you Tuesday, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in again on Tuesday for the next 3-Martini Lunch. In the meantime, don't forget to visit SimpliSafe Home Security and get 10% off your home security system. SimpliSafe.com/ricochet.